I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there on Melody Lane with all the other rich people. And I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
It came back with the most amazing explanation about Frankie B, then gave me the episodes to go listen to that Frankie B was in, even when Frankie B was not in the show notes or the title. Fucking intense.
That's crazy.
Intense. I was like,
I wonder how Frankie B feels about this.
I don't know. I don't, Frankie, I know you're listening. So, Frankie, go out there and Google yourself and see if what comes
leave
up.
Leave us a comment.
Yeah, leave us a comment. Leave us a review, will you, Frankie?
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is the titular titan of TCB, Tina. Best to you, Tina.
Best to you, Brian.
That was a mouthful.
It was.
Hey.
Well done.
Tina's sitting in the seat while Chrissy takes some time off to be with family. She'll be back in earnest in season number 5. Let's put it that way, in January. So it's been a long slog for her for the last few months, and we hope that best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you,
hope
Chrissy.
Everything's going well. Hey, speaking of TCB as the titular titan of TCB, I don't even know what titular means, but it's a pretty word. I was listening to, I don't often listen to Joe Rogan for lots of different reasons. The first one being, I don't have the fucking time to sit through 4 hours of Joe Rogan.
Yeah, his episodes are very long.
Very long. Thank God we didn't choose to do that because I'm sure we would have no listeners. I think 45 minutes to an hour is perfect. But I was listening to Rogan in the background because the clickbaity title had me going, and it was AI didn't scare me until he, or AI didn't scare him until he heard this. And here was the premise of the conversation. It was like two guys who were part of an organization that basically are trying to police what's going on in AI, or it's like a, you know, like one of those think tanks, right?
Sure.
So they've been watching this for a while, since like 2014. And the one guy, who seems like quite the expert on AI, explains, and I am paraphrasing here, obviously, because don't trust anything you hear on The Commercial Break, or Joe Rogan,
at
for that matter.
Check it, yeah.
Yeah. He said that AI has been around for a while, and they have been for a long time, for like 10 years, 15 years, they've been trying to teach these computers how to learn on their own, which is artificial intelligence. It asks it to go do a task, and then it goes beyond that task to learn how to learn language, essentially, right? And learn what, how he explained AI is, AI is the advent of a computer trying to predict the next character in a word, or the next character that's going to be written on the internet, or the next character that's going to be written in a comment, or the next character that's going to be in a search,
sure.
Right? So basically what it's trying to do is it's trying to figure out the next letter or character it's going, that it's predicting that.
Right.
What happened was in 2019, I believe, or 2019, don't trust anything you hear, by the way. Go do your homework. I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm just paraphrasing what I heard, which is probably already twisted up in my mind, even though I just listened to it 10 hours ago. But here's the gist of it. In 2000 and something, recently, in the last 3 or 4 years, the people who were working on these programs started to add CPUs. They started to add computers, and they asked it to go out and read everything on the internet, everything that it could get its hands on the internet. And what they found is, in one of these CPUs and one of these like nodes, they were, and this was like the scientist or the researcher found this by accident. They weren't even looking for this, but they found that one of the nodes was starting to figure out how the person was feeling when they were making comments, or how the person was feeling when they had read a book. They started to understand
Creepy.
The differences between how French people feel and how Americans feel about this or that.
Wow.
Or how Spanish, you know, people in Spain,
yeah, cultural differences.
Cultural differences.
Yeah.
It started to, on its own, started to
anticipate emotion.
Anticipate emotion, figure out how people were feeling, understand sentiment. It didn't ask it to do that. No one asked it to do that.
Wow.
I know. And then this guy at Rogan says, basically, it makes sense. Because when you ask it to predict the next character, let's say that you wanted to know, he's giving this example of Amazon. What if you wanted to know what the next product review was going to be, the next character in a product review? Well, you'd have to understand the sentiment that people were feeling about that particular product.
Right.
And in order to understand that, you would have to understand how that particular white male, 42, whatever, was feeling.
From Spain. Yeah.
From Spain was feeling the sentiment behind it so that you could really predict that character well. So it started to break off on its own. AI started to generate its own functions, essentially.
It was making assumptions,
but it needed more assumptions. It needed more facts for those assumptions.
That's incredible.
It's fucking creepy.
It's really creepy, also very incredible.
I think mainly creepy, but a little bit incredible. It is incredible.
Yeah.
And now it makes me certainly believe that we are just in a simulation. We are essentially a computer game that somebody else is playing out there.
I cuss out my sim controller all the time.
You do?
I do.
Yeah.
It's a regular...
It's
part of my
thing.
Therapy, basically, yeah.
You go out there and yell at your AI?
Ah!
Okay, so on the back of this, I'm like, listen, AI is not that good. I've checked that ChatGPT, and the only thing I ask it to do is basically like, you know, what's the commercial break about, right? And so all I ask it is questions about the commercial break. But I've used it enough to feel like it's not all that good at what it's doing, but I'm also not doing chemistry.
I'm not doing chemistry, but I've used it for a few things too, and I've been pretty impressed with the results.
Fair enough. And I hear this from a lot of people who are using it. Like, I got a friend out there who uses it for like show notes and stuff like that.
It's incredible in the legal industry, for sure.
Well, and chemistry. It's figured out new ways to use medication for cancer. It's figured out, chemical makeups of certain things that it's amazing. But for the everyday Joe, I don't know, right? Is it really changing our lives? Maybe not yet, but it certainly will if it's thinking on its own. So I go to Bing, which I know owns ChatGPT, and I don't use it ever, but I go to Bing and I say, tell me about the Commercial Break podcast. And basically what it comes up with is our, when you go to a podcast, you see they have that little pitch, like the paragraph or two, right? Basically, what's the commercial break about? Well, we put that into our hosting program, and then it shows up on all of the different podcast players.
Right.
So ChatGPT just spits that back out at me. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's not really all that interesting. Like, Google can do that too. And then it says, ask me another question about the commercial break. And I said, who is Frankie B? What came back scared the shit out of me?
Tell me more.
The commercial, Frankie B is an ongoing character, sometimes played by Brian, the host of the Commercial Break. Frankie B talks about health, wealth, and relationships. He appears in these episodes. He's been made fun of because he makes tuna at 3:45 in the morning. He's been made fun of because he gives bad vacation reviews.
Wow.
It came back with the most amazing explanation about Frankie B, then gave me the episodes to go listen to that Frankie B was in, even when Frankie B was not in the show notes or the title. Fucking intense.
That's crazy.
Intense. I was like,
I wonder how Frankie B feels about this.
I don't know. I don't, Frankie, I know you're listening. So Frankie, go out there and Google yourself and see if what comes
leave
up.
Leave us a comment.
Yeah. Leave us a comment. Leave us a review, will you, Frankie?
You're welcome.
Yeah. Just subscribe to us on Apple. We would appreciate it. That scared the shit out of
me. Because
I was like, it went and listened to the podcast in like half a second or had already listened to the podcast.
It did all the digging. A week to do.
I just could not wrap my head around what had happened.
That's pretty intense.
So intense that I like jumped out of my seat and I went and grabbed Astrid because I wanted someone to look at this. And
holy shit.
I know. Holy shit. Look at this. I walked into the kitchen and I'm like, Astrid, mind blown. Life-changing information just came to me. And she was like, I thought you were going to tell me you were cheating on me or something. And I'm like, no.
Ask it about you next time.
Yeah. Ask it about Brian Green. I'm too afraid to. Brian Green is an asshole.
He gets marriage demerits on the regular. Yeah,
marriage demerits. He spent at least 3 days incarcerated. ChatGPT is getting real fucking good.
Yeah.
Now, but you know, somebody also told me that you it's garbage in, garbage out. So you sure. got to know the right way to prompt it.
It's true.
But then I watch like some like this guy that I was talking about. He's got he uses it for the show notes. So he inputs the information. He told me how he does it. He inputs the information, basically some bullet points about what they talked about, and then ChatGPT spit the transcript and yeah. then spits out.
You can
what
tell
it's
a Raichu professional or comedy or whatever. It'll put a
terrible.
Spin on it.
It's terrible. The show notes are terrible. They're terrible. They sound like they were written by a computer. Sometimes they don't even make sense.
And well, you have to edit it. I mean, come
I think
on.
That's a problem. There's
but the more knowledge
pacing.
You have of what you're after going into it, the better the result is. That's for sure.
I belong to this Facebook group that, I don't know, I joined 5,000 years
like the
ago.
Rest when, of us, yeah. yeah.
Do you still use Facebook?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Do you have it on your phone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's yeah. listening to you.
It
so,
is.
Yeah. I jumped on this, you know, AI group a long time ago, and they're always giving you like prompts that you can use for certain situations. Like the users will figure out how ChatGPT best yeah, yeah. responds to prompts, and then it uses it. It's like a string of query code. Like I don't understand it. I don't want to go through all that effort just to search for something.
Yeah,
I don't know,
but it's not practical, I think, for the day-to-day use, but in the professional industry it's definitely got its perks.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a mediocre comedy podcaster that yeah. AI is ever going to change my life all that much.
I had it write some poems for me. I'm like, write me a poem.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's actually pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
What did it like came out with like a beautiful poem?
It came out with a book that I'm like, a poem that I'm like, I'm going to have ChatGPT illustrate this for me, and then I'm going to throw it on Amazon and see what happens.
Really?
Yeah, it did a pretty good job.
But you're going to say that it was written by ChatGPT.
We'll see.
Or just put it under a pseudonym.
I'm going to name my little Bingbot.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to have to do?
Written by Bingbot.
You know, oh, you Bingbot.
Author Bingbot.
Author Bingbot. I love Bingbot. I'm going to have Bingbot. I think I just figured something out. I'm like figuring this out as we're speaking right now. I'm going to have Bingbot. I'm going to tell it to go make me a picture of the sexiest feet in the world doing various foot things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, foot things. And then I'm going to input it.
Yes.
Onto Feed Finder.
Yeah, and Bingbot can have its own foot finder.
Yes, and let's see if we can
we'll
make some
Bingbot
money doing
this. We'll turn Bingbot into an author, an illustrator, and a foot model.
Do you think if I say on Feed Finder that it's just like BB?
Just name yourself Bingbot 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, Bingbot 1, 2, 3, and then people can figure it out or not figure it out.
Yeah. Huh. Or finger it out or not finger it out.
I've been figuring it out for a long time. Listen to this. This is like the most embarrassing story in the world, but I'll tell it anyway. Well, actually, you know what? Why don't we do this after the break? I'll tell this story. But if we do Bingbot, are we like morally obligated to go ahead and tell people?
Whose morals? Get out of here.
That's true. You remember that they had that Bingbot that was like the influencer girl?
Yeah.
Do you know about this girl?
Yeah, there's been a few of them.
She's got like 4 million followers.
Yeah.
And she didn't, and people didn't figure it out for like a year and a half.
People are using it to like, you know, take their least favorite politicians and make them say terrible things, and the videos look real.
Absolutely real.
Yeah, don't dive into Reddit on all that.
Do you know what I got into recently? Do you have Apple TV?
I do.
Have you watched For All Mankind?
No.
That space show?
Not yet.
I fucking watched 2 episodes, and now I'm goddamn involved.
Every Apple TV show has been like that for me.
Fuck, man. Fuck Apple. Apple is prestige TV. Netflix.
Even when I hate the show, I'm like, I can't stop now.
The morning show was so good.
Yep,
Ted Lasso
was so good.
For All Mankind. Now they have a show called Slow Horses, which is about British MI5 officers that are like, they've been relegated to this like shitty part of MI5 because they did something wrong. So they're like the, you know, the degenerates of the MI5. It is so fucking good. So fucking good.
Is it funny?
It's funny
okay.
and interesting.
That's how I feel about Obliterated.
Obliterated?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to
Netflix.
Check that one out.
It's not on Apple TV, but it is like, you have to stop believing it's real.
Yeah.
You have to understand it's just the rejects.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
It is one of the best television shows about like spycraft
yes.
that I have ever seen is
I
Slow Horses.
Right.
You have to watch this show. There's now 3 seasons of it. It's quick. There's only 6 episodes per season. It goes quick. There's no slow. There's no downtime. No sappy romance.
Perfect.
I mean, there's romance, but no sappy, like, you know, 15 minutes.
Sex, no romance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But For All Mankind is a show about the space program starting back at the beginning of the space program, but it's alt history. So it changes what happened, and it suggests, or the way that this show goes down, the plot suggests that we actually gave a shit about space after Challenger, and we decided to
go
send
all in.
Now there's like 300 astronauts, and they're always launching shuttles and coming back.
A nice little what if,
what if happened, right? Including that Senator Ted Kennedy ended up being the president of the United States after Nixon, after Kennedy, his brother was assassinated. It is a fascinating show. It is really well acted. And now I'm fucking involved.
I hate when that happens.
I
also love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't have any. I finished Obliterated too quickly, and now I'm like, what am I going to watch?
I'm only on season two, and I'm like, I can't stop watching it, and I don't have time to be involved in another show.
I know. I prefer just throwing on some Bravo or Vice and just letting it
play. Exactly. Why can't I just have my TLC? But Christmas time is bad for TLC because they don't put out many new episodes.
I know.
Episodes
it's just bad for pretty much everything.
Yeah. Fuck it. Fuck you, Apple. Fuck you for making such good TV.
We're in a desert right now. Yeah.
I love it, man. I love From All Mankind. If you have time to watch it and you're into the space program, which I'm not really into the space program because it really isn't a space program.
Proof positive that it's a great show then.
It is a great show. Okay, let's do this. Let's take a break. I'm going to tell a funny story and we're going to talk about Matthew Perry, which I think we have to address this. Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, the toxicology report came out. So now it's not too soon anymore. Now we get to talk about it. All right, we'll be back after this break.
Look, I know you guys are getting really sick of me, but that is too bad. It's my job. Now, go to tcbpodcast.com for all of our audio and video content, and get your little booty over to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for fully edited video episodes. Want to chat? Leave us a voicemail at 626-ASK-TCB3. Too embarrassed for your voice to be on the show? We understand. Text us instead at 855-TCB-8383. Can't even do that? No worries. Just follow us on TikTok at TCB Podcast and on Instagram at The Commercial Break. And if you can't even be seen doing that, just listen to these sponsors and let's get back to the show.
Hey everybody, wanted to let you know that this episode is sponsored in part by Factor. Okay, do you want to know what the single biggest challenge for me as a single person was? Shopping for, prepping, and cooking nutritious meals. Do you want to know what the biggest challenge for me as a human with 25 to 60 family members living in my house? Shopping for, prepping, and cooking a nutritious meal. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it's a big stress point around here. And since I don't really know how to cook, that stress often falls on other family members. But this holiday season, we're going to try something different. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help us fuel up fast for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to our door. Because Factor's never-frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, all you have to do is heat and enjoy. You can choose from over 35 weekly flavor-packed, fresh and never-frozen meals that support a healthy lifestyle and meet your meal preferences. And guess what? It's all delivered right to your front door. With Factor, we can be assured that we're making sustainable choices. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions and source 100% renewable electricity for their production sites and offices. Hey, look at that, a company who's trying to do some good. So head to factormeals.com/commercialbreak50 and use the code commercialbreak50 to get 50% off. That's code commercialbreak50 at factormeals.com/commercialbreak50 and get 50% off. We also want to thank Factor for being a sponsor of The Commercial Break.
Okay. Matthew Perry, sad that he passed away, but the toxicology report came out, the autopsy report came out, and Matthew Perry died because of a large amount of ketamine in his system. Now, I think this is becoming a little bit of an issue. Like the ketamine, the DMT. Yeah, we just talked about this. Like you can't go willy-nilly, half-cocked, you know, doing your own DMT ketamine therapy.
You should not.
No, you should not. That shit is intense. Let me tell you, I've taken DMT in the form of ayahuasca. And it is, you go to a place where there is, you are completely disconnected from any reality.
Yeah.
For a period of time. And sometimes that lasts for 5 minutes, like in real human time, not in DMT time. And sometimes that seems like that lasts for hours.
Sometimes you get worried you're just going to be stuck like that. It's terrifying.
Yeah. It's a disassociative.
Yeah.
So what that means is you completely disconnect from your body. You are in a different reality. It feels like an out-of-body experience, but not the kind you get when you're dreaming. You are certainly most definitely awake.
Yeah.
And so when you disconnect from your body and you can't feel your toes, your fingers, or see anything in this reality, it is a very scary place to be.
Very scary.
And your thoughts become weapons.
True.
That's right. And
yeah.
those weapons are used against you because everyone is insecure or worried or stressed about
something.
The
paranoia sets in.
Yes.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
It's very dangerous. And then to be in a hot tub is
alone.
A real dumb fucking thing
Definitely
to do.
Definitely never do it alone.
Never. How can you take ketamine and go into a hot tub? Isn't that like human being 101?
Why would you ever want to do it by yourself?
I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about this. Ketamine became like a club drug at some point.
Yep.
And there was a story that I read, I don't know what it was, in Vice magazine, how this guy was explaining, you know, I was part of the UK rave scene, you know, documenting the UK rave scene, and things changed when ketamine came, right? It went from like this ecstasy, super high love fest that everyone is involved in to people like on the floor rolling around having seizures because ketamine is a horse tranquilizer.
It is.
Which will put you in a fucking K-hole.
Yes,
and the K-hole is real.
It's called that, yeah.
And if you've ever been in one, then you know.
Yeah.
You've been in a K-hole? I mean, you have to tell me. It's a K-hole.
Yeah, it is.
It's a scary place to be.
It's a scary place.
There's no fun in it, by the way. I don't know why you would want to. You're right about that.
Yeah.
Like, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to subject yourself to that?
Not in public. I mean,
no.
Coming off a night at a rave, sure.
Okay. But amongst friends.
Amongst friends.
Who
yes.
someone is relatively sober so they can
Maybe,
take care of you.
At least somebody is there that you can get a different opinion from, or like, are the monsters real?
Yes. Have I in fact died 3 times in the last 15
can
minutes?
Can you see my body? Because I can't. Yeah. You can get some validations that will keep you from going all the way down.
All the way down.
Yeah.
It's like a bad trip on acid.
It can be.
Yeah. But on acid, you can certainly go into a hole on acid too. I have. You can be in a really dark, weird place. You can find the origins of life if you take enough LSD.
But that to me isn't dark. That's fun. I used to like psychedelics. Let me be clear about that.
I love psychedelics.
Used to.
Now I know better.
Yeah.
Now I know that my brain has been filled with too
much
stress.
I'm not going anywhere near today's acid. No, thank you.
Are you fucking kidding me? I don't even hear about LSD anymore.
Oh, it's out there.
Is it?
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
I have a friend who went and looked at Christmas lights on it last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Speaking of Christmas.
Ask for a few extra hits and we'll do it here at the commercial break.
Be a fun episode.
I'd be willing to
see
do
how
it.
That goes.
That'd be the only reason that I would take LSD. But then I'd have to clear my schedule and my children from the house
for a day or two.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're not going to bounce back like we once did.
No. We're going to feel like our
have
asses.
A medic on staff.
Yes. We're going to feel like our ass is crusty for weeks. That is the worst thing about LSD is you felt so crusty
those next
afterwards.
2 days.
Yeah. You felt like there was.
Get all the strychnine.
Yeah. That dirt that you just couldn't get off you. Your back hurt. Your butt hurt. Your balls hurt. It was like.
My balls never hurt, well, for the record.
My balls hurt because of you.
I probably punched him a time or two.
I think we had some weird times. Yeah. I think we did have some weird times. If I remember correctly, but of course I was on acid. So what am I thinking? But when I did ayahuasca, DMT, which is not ketamine, but it is a similar
it's a
disassociative,
derivative, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's DMT is a derivative chemical that comes from some things in nature, but now they're making it chemically. And I just don't know why the kids would want to do that recreationally, but okay. So the first time that I did ayahuasca, it was part of a ceremony. I get invited to this house.
Legit.
Yeah. The Shah man is coming from Colombia and he's been invited here by researchers and professors.
Oh, okay.
And you have been invited to take part in the ceremony is the invitation that I get.
How do you say no to that? You
I
can't.
Yeah, I said
you
yes.
Can't. Yeah.
And so we're to appear at this guy's house, the guy who was like hosting the shaman. We appeared at his house, everybody that was invited, and we're going to be spoken to by the gentleman who knows the shaman, who has invited him here to Atlanta, and he has done ayahuasca many times. So this guy looks like the hippie Santa Claus, right? Hippie
Sweet.
Dippy Santa Claus.
Yep.
And he stands up at some point. There's probably 30 of us at this house. We're in this living room, all spread out, sitting on the floor. And he stands up and he starts explaining to us what we need to be prepared for. Because at that time, this is probably 22 years ago. At that time, ayahuasca, it's the first time I'd ever heard the word DMT. I'd ever heard the word ayahuasca. He starts explaining to us that we should prepare for many, 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 he said it three times, many, many, many deaths. And I was like, what the fuck? I look at my friend who got the invite, and I was like, what the fuck? I thought we were going to party.
I thought we were tripping, yeah.
Yeah. And then he says that DMT is like the angel's eye. It will open you up, and it will find where those weak spots are, and it will kill them. When you kill them, you will die. You will feel like you're dying. You will go through the process. You will be reborn again. And this is likely to happen many, many, many times. And I'm like, the fuck?
What are we doing?
It's like being invited to the best party in the world, but the invitation says also could cause death. And you're like, what? I'm going to a Christmas party, also could cause death?
Sign me up.
I was there.
Yeah.
There were also paramedics in the room. There were lawyers in the room.
Right.
There were politicians in the room. There were professors in the room. There were researchers in the room. This was like an esteemed group of people and Brian. So it was like quite the mix.
Studied.
I think that's essentially what was yeah. going on. And he was so spot on about this because there were many, many, many deaths on DMT. It was not the most pleasant of experiences. But I'll tell you what, it changed the way that I looked at the world for sure. However, I was not in a hot tub. I was
by yourself.
I was in a dark room. Yes. Yeah. I was in a dark room.
With a yoga mat and a blanket.
That's right. And a puke bucket.
Yeah. That's right. A bottle of water, bucket. Face mask.
Oh my God. That was so intense. I remember like I you know, it was a tea and you drank it. The shaman came around and he would give you tea, right? And so you drink it. And DMT is one of the, or ayahuasca is one of these things that it can affect different people differently.
Yeah.
So some people might need more. Yeah. Some people might need less. It is the worst tasting thing in the world.
Worse than mushrooms?
Way worse than mushrooms.
Wow.
Way, 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 way worse than mushrooms. It is a nasty, bitter, puke-like kind of, it just tastes disgusting.
How much did you have to drink?
Three, I think, but I'm not 100%
like ounces
sure.
Or...
Oh, it's like a little teacup. Yeah, it's okay. Like a tiny little teacup. You swallow it down, then you purge, because everybody purges. Almost everybody purges.
I love a drug. It's like, you're going to vomit, but that means it's
yes.
working.
If it, yeah, I know. That's the worst, isn't it? If you don't puke, it's not working. And I'm like, I don't want to puke. Can I not puke? Yeah.
I try to avoid that.
I know. So this shaman is going around, doesn't speak much English. So there's a translator there and he's some other person is playing a drum, like, you know, like a,
oh, of
a,
course, yeah.
a spiritual drum or something.
It's your vibrations, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So there's like 30 people in this huge circle in this huge room. And then there's like paramedics off to the side and bump, 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 bump. And so I drink, purge, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I'm feeling a little loopy. Then around again. Most people took another round. Okay, another round again. Purge a little bit more after like 15 minutes, but now there's not much in your stomach. And then I was yone.
Sailing.
G-O-N-E. At first, it was like, you could feel it like you were like lifting out of yourself.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, this is a very pleasant feeling.
You feel like a washing over
yes.
you. Yeah.
Until the entire universe swallowed me whole.
Yeah.
And then I was a little baby crying for my mommy.
It
was
make
really
it stop.
Scary. Dude, I know. Not only make it stop, but then I was an actual little baby crying for my mommy.
Oh.
It was crazy. And then just like this cycle after cycle of snakes and spiders and monsters. And
true life flashbacks, though, or was it like your brain just sort of crafting its own stories?
It was my brain crafting its own stories with
tidbits.
Certain moments in there. Yes.
Yikes.
Big moments. Like, my mom yelling at me when I was a very young child, a memory that I never had before.
Right.
When I was a very young child and then feeling like this connection I had with my mom was being ripped away. Like I was being ripped away from my mother.
I debate like, cause you know, the opportunity comes around and I'm like, I just don't think I could do it. I don't know if I want to go through that.
I think it's really intense.
Yeah. At 25, maybe 45, maybe not.
You know what they say, and I will share this, is that once you have to be in the right head place for sure.
Sure, yeah.
You cannot be under any
but
kind
with
of...
But paramedics in the room, I think maybe.
If paramedics, but you forget about that. Like it goes
sure.
away. You're dying, you're dying, right? If you're dying, you're dying, and you're screaming for the paramedics and no one's coming for you, that's like a different story. But you don't even know the paramedics are there because you've lost all consciousness. But after you've done this a couple of times, you will start to understand a little bit what's going on. And basically, well, here's what I took away from it. Every molecule in this universe is ultimately connected in some way, shape, or form. And we all fit into that molecule. We are all the God particle. Not that I am a God, but I am part of a God.
The whole
thing. A system, right? A thing that is ultimately scary and loving at the same time. Like death, you know, the destroyer of
the
worlds.
The light and the dark.
The light and the dark. However, all of that said, is that that first time when I did it and I come out, I come to, right? The person who's now given this medicine is standing right in front of me. Now I'm eyes wide open. I'm still fucked up, but I'm eyes wide open and I'm coming back to. It's like you get sucked back into your body real quick. And what I heard in that room going on around me is something that I cannot fucking describe. I've never been able to give it like an accurate description. A monkey being murdered with other by other monkeys. People were screaming in a way that I've never heard human beings scream before. It was a
like guttural animalistic.
Guttural and animal. I think it was one of the women that was just like screaming in a way that was so intense that it scared the holy shit out of me. Okay. So now imagine this is going on around. This is where your brain is.
Yeah, now you're awake and you're like, holy shit.
Yes, now you're like, holy shit, am I really dying? Are other people really dying?
Yeah, I just die?
Yes. Yeah. Then I took some more tea and went right back into it. But now imagine all of this is where your head is at, and then you're in a fucking hot tub. How do you control yourself?
You can't. No.
This is not what you can do. And ketamine is not the exact same experience. It's not that hallucinogenic, but it's a weird hole that you go down.
It sends you into your brain, really.
Yes. That's the whole point.
And you don't want to do that by yourself ever. Definitely not in a hot tub.
So now it's being used for therapy. It's being used for pain management. It's being in the UK, they give people ketamine when they have like traumatic accidents, like you broke your like a major compound fracture in your leg. They'll give you ketamine.
Whoa.
Because you disassociate from your body.
At least it's not addictive like the opiates and stuff like that. So at least it's got that benefit. But I don't know if I'd want to be tripping while my body was recovering from some kind of surgery.
You know, that's what they do. I don't know. I saw an actual documentary about doctors that were doing this in the UK.
Wow.
And this guy had a compound fracture in his leg, like the kind of compound fracture where the bone is sticking out. You know what I'm saying?
Yikes.
And they gave him the DMT and the ketamine. And he was in a whole nother world. He was happy. He was like, hey, what's going on?
You're definitely not going back to work.
No. But this is being used in all these different ways, all these kind of like off-label ways. But Matthew Perry was doing the therapy with ketamine, but he didn't die from therapeutic amounts of ketamine. He had stopped that therapy 3 weeks before his death.
Whoa.
Because the doctor said, I think you've had enough. Like, I think you've had enough. They also found like opiates and Xanax. And
yeah, that's what I thought happened.
All this other stuff. So,
but he still 3 weeks later had the ketamine in his system.
The autopsy explained that the half-life of ketamine, which is pretty quick, like within 4 hours, it's half-life.
It metabolizes.
So he said there's no way that he could have died from the ketamine. The levels in his body indicate that he had taken
that
day, that night, he had taken too much of it. And that just makes me so like freaked out. Like that's not a way to die.
No, especially alone. It's so sad.
I know. I guess there's not going to be a Friends reunion, huh?
Oh.
Do you think there's going to be a Friends reunion? The one where Matt dies?
Probably not. The last time they did that, I don't think he showed up.
He did show up.
Did he?
A hot fucking mess.
And they said...
He was obviously intoxicated.
Yeah.
If you watch the special,
A couple years ago.
Yeah, it was like the beginning of the pandemic. Remember, he was going to save everybody from the pandemic? They had this one television show. It was Astrid and I thought it was okay, but then it prompted us to go back and watch Friends from the beginning. And we got through two episodes and we were like, this just didn't age well.
You know what's weird about kids? I think it did because both of my kids have watched it all the way through multiple times.
Really?
Yeah.
They like it?
Mm-hmm.
Friends?
Yeah, I think it.
I don't know.
I think it makes them jealous that they didn't sort of have that sort of upbringing or that friendship opportunity.
Yeah.
In their 20s, because everything's so disconnected with the phones, and then the pandemic sent them home from school, and so I think it was just like that. I hate to say nostalgic because they're young adults, you know. Yeah. They're not hearkening back to a time when things were different.
They're just seeing it for the first time.
But I think they're just like, wow, this would have been really cool to have a spot to, you know, have a group of friends and just go meet up and hang out. And yeah, I think it's just...
I don't disagree with them.
Yeah.
Like, what a weird... What a different time to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
That the most interaction that you get is on a screen.
And so much of their interaction is that way.
Yeah, I was just talking to Chrissy, I think, and I had read a study that said that one third of the months that you live on the earth is dedicated to sleep.
Right.
One third of the months on this earth, if you live to 90 years old, one third of your time will be spent in traffic, pooping, eating, otherwise other activities that have to do with, like, you know, just being a human being.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. In the modern society. And then 92% of the remaining third for anybody over the age of 18 in 2023 will be spent on a digital device.
Oh my gosh. That makes me nauseous.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That's nuts.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
That makes me so sad.
For our kids.
For everybody. Yeah. For society. Like, we don't know how to interact with each other anymore.
I think we do. I think I make friends a lot faster than my son, my daughter. You know, I think,
yeah.
I think our generation, or the, I don't know, anyone over 35 maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're a little more movie and shaky, and we can just, like, say hi to someone online and make a friendly conversation. They don't do that. They don't just randomly interact with each other.
You know, Esther says that about me all the time. She's like, you make friends with anybody.
Everywhere, like, I go. Yeah, I come home with I've got friends all over the place. If I go on vacation, I come back with some phone numbers or Facebook connections, or, you know, call me next time you're in town. Yeah.
I mean, and I told her, I said, I think it has to... Well, first of all, we have two different personalities. She's a little more reserved than I am. And I am not reserved about anything. I can talk to anybody for any reason. you're like me. You just go out in the world and, you know, whoever's in your face, you're going to talk to, right?
Yeah, we're gonna have a good time. There'll be a laugh or two.
But I also think it has to do with, you know, even though the age difference isn't like 40 years, it is enough she grew up in the digital age. And
she had internet when she was born. Yeah,
that's right. I had internet when I was 14. That's when the internet came out,
my
13 or 14.
My email was at 21.
I got my first email address at 21. That's right. Me too. But there were email addresses for a long time. I was just one of these people who thought that the internet was a fad. I did.
I was working
convinced.
For Home Depot, and I had a baby at the time. Like, I just didn't need an email.
I was at the Chili's. Why did I need an email? Who's going to email me?
I didn't have internet at my apartment. What's the point?
I
couldn't afford that.
I had that AOL, you know, AOL would send me a disc every 5 minutes.
Yeah, it took too long. I didn't have time for that.
No.
Yeah.
I told that story about the one time that I got the first time that I, like, officially got on the internet. And of course, the first thing I look for is tits. And it took literally an hour and 15 minutes to download one page of porn. And my then girlfriend at the time, who was living with me, came home while I was in the middle of downloading it. I know. So I had to turn off the screen and let it download. Yeah.
6 hours.
I know. 7 hours later, I turn it back on and it's like a picture of a boob. And I'm like, oh, this is not interesting at all.
At least it wasn't like spam. I guess spam wasn't a thing back then. But
yeah.
That would have been a fun way to spam people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you waited 2 hours for this download? Guess what?
Guess
it's
what?
It's not a tit.
It's not a tit. It's a hot dick. It's two dicks talking to each other.
Have you noticed the proliferation of dicks in television these days?
There's a lot of dick out there.
It is crazy.
We're at peak dick.
I find myself like, where are the tits?
They're not there anymore.
Huge dicks. They look like prosthetics.
Some of them are. Sometimes they put on those.
I hope to God they are.
Yeah, because whenever they show a dick on TV,
I'm still shook by it.
I know. Most of the time they show those dicks and it's like they clearly have to pump themselves up a little bit before that, right?
Or they're not real.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they're just...
They're not walking around with 7.5 inches flaccid, are
no
they?
No way.
No way.
It can't be real.
Yeah. No, no, no.
Not
no,
that
no.
many of them anyway.
No. No.
On real actors especially.
Tom Cruise is like 2'2", right? He's like 2'2".
He is.
If he had his dick out, I'm sure it wouldn't be that 7.5-inch anaconda.
If they wanted him to show it on camera, he'd be like, I'm going to need the makeup artist to come
and plump it up a little bit.
Just grow it down.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. You know, you can, like, when you...
They've got to be fake because there's no curvature in any of the ones I've seen lately.
Well, you can... I mean, to explain the minutia of a penis, like, you can put blood in there and it kind of hangs down and it's, you know, it's not fully erect, but it's a softie, right?
Yeah.
But it's also not like a little
button. It's waking
button.
Up.
It's waking up. Yeah. There you go. It's not a little button. It's somewhere in between.
Yeah, it's not fresh out of the
pool.
But
it's still hanging down. And whenever I see a dick on TV, I feel like they're in that constant state.
Just spack it real quick.
Yeah. I think they probably, that's what I would do.
For sure.
If someone asked me to go naked on camera,
yeah,
I would pump myself up a little bit, just a little bit. I'd be like, hey, I don't want a full hard, but give me like a half hard.
Let me not look like I just got a, yeah.
Yeah, let me not have a button penis. You know, they said how a camera adds 10 pounds. I'd just like it to add 10 centimeters.
Can it just focus it in this general reach?
That's right. I just want it to look like a fat hot dog pointing directly down.
A bratwurst.
I don't want to seem creepy, but I also don't want to seem short.
But that's how I feel about these ones showing up on these shows. I'm like, where did you, what? Is that how this guy got the role? It's got to be a prosthetic.
It's
I'm
going to
do some investigating.
Well, you remember that movie? What was that movie? Boogie Nights?
I do.
Mark Wahlberg, Dirk Diggler had like a foot and a half long dick. And I remember seeing that scene for the first time, which, what a great movie, by the way.
Great movie.
But I remember seeing that scene for the first time and I was like, holy shit. There's a guy that had the, and then I saw the guy with the world's largest penis, largest recorded penis.
And who is this?
This is a guy named Jonah something. He has a podcast about like the Yankees or the Mets. He's been on the Stern Show. He has the world's largest penis. He's a rather strange human being in general. But I think his dick is like 21 and a half inches long or something. Can you
slow
imagine?
Down. Yeah. No, but nobody. No.
Yeah.
Nobody
Hold
can
on
manage
one second.
That. You're going to get the facts straight.
Hey, Bing. Largest. Well, I guess longest, huh? Let's ask Bing.
Yeah, what's the...
Who has the longest penis in the world?
21 inches.
Oh, wait. Okay. So Roberto Cabrera is a 56-year-old Mexican citizen known as El Centenario.
He's a centaur.
The man with the largest penis in the world is 48 centimeters long.
So that's about 20...
It's about 24 inches?
No, I think it's like 21, 20.
24... What was it? 48 centimeters?
48 centimeters.
48 centimeters to inches is 19 inches long, 18.9. Holy shit. Okay, wait. There's another guy. Jonah.
That's too much.
Jonah, longest penis.
Do you remember that Price is Right game where they were like, that's too much? That's how I feel about that. Like, nope, back it up.
Jonah Falcon. Jonah Falcon, world's biggest dick. Claiming to have the world's largest penis, excuse me.
Are we not just discussing girth? This is just length?
This is just length, but you know the girth comes with it.
Not always.
Okay, he is 13 and a half inches long, erect, 10 inches long, flaccid. 10 inches, Tina.
Flaccid.
Flaccid. Ugh. 10 inch. I would.
So he's definitely not one of those. A grower, not a shower. He shows.
He's a shower and a grower.
Yeah.
But you know that, like, I think I read about one of these two guys. I think that it was the Mexican gentleman who has like the world's largest penis.
Guinness Book
18,
stuff.
19 inches long.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I read about him that he can't get a full erection because it'll take all the
blood
from his body.
Yeah,
it'll take it out of his head. He'll pass out.
Poor guy. What a curse.
Poor bastard. Can't you do like a penis reduction? I'm sure there's penis reduction surgery. There's got to be.
Oh, God, the thought of it. What? No, they can't. No way.
I don't know. You just cut in the middle a little bit like a hot dog and sew it back up. I don't know. After my vasectomy.
There's too much going on in there.
I know.
Leave it alone.
I agree with you.
You got cursed.
But if you could never have a full erection.
Total curse.
Yeah, that's a total curse. And I wonder, you probably don't ever get laid either.
No way.
Because
there's no chance.
How would you ever get laid? Nope. Who wants 19 inches?
Nobody.
No one can take 19 inches.
Nope.
It'd be up in your throat.
Even if you wanted to, it would be very uncomfortable.
Not something I'll ever have to worry
not
about.
Not one of those pain pleasure games either.
No. And not something I'll ever have to worry about.
Please.
It's coming out of my tits. All right. Hey, let's take one more break and then we'll be back. Okay.
Okay, Brian, shh. Let me give the people what they want. Our social media handles. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. If, like all my Hinge dates, you are thirsty for more, give us a call and leave us a message at 626-ASK-TCB3. Or send us a text, no sexting please, at 855-TCB-8383. And, of course, go to TCBpodcast.com to see everything there is to see. Now let's hear from our sponsors and then the show must go on.
All right, and we're back. Okay, let me tell an embarrassing story. Ready?
I am.
So I had the vasectomy a couple of weeks ago.
I recall.
And I think that I have something called post-vasectomy pain syndrome, which apparently is not uncommon, but also not something they share with you before your vasectomy.
Of course
right?
not.
Of course not. You only find out about it on Reddit afterwards. But apparently 14 to 16% of men reportedly have this. And it's basically just like an ongoing pain sensation, much like if you got a leg amputated, you'd have these like phantom pains.
Yes.
There's a phantom pain in your Mas deferens or whatever. Okay. So Mas deferens. So in your Mas deferens. So I go on Reddit and I'm just trying to figure out, like, am I going to be stuck with this pain forever? Is this normal? Whatever. And they start explaining this. And then in a rather mature Reddit group, which I didn't think that existed, but there is.
There are a few.
Yeah, these gentlemen are talking and they're talking about, you know, how you can eliminate pain, alleviate pain, all this other stuff. And one of the things that they share is that when you have to go do your homework. Let me explain. When you get a vasectomy, you are cutting the tubes, but there may still be some gentlemen left in the tubes. Some of those semen might still be on their little cruise ships inside of the tube that has been cut. So in order to make sure that you're perfectly okay, to clear the pipes, so to speak, Tina, you have to do homework. And that homework basically consists of
EPMs.
Whacking off. That's right. Whacking off a certain amount of times in a certain period of time. And then you send in a sample.
Yeah, and they check and make sure no swimming.
Which, by the way, is totally fucking embarrassing because here's what they give you this box with this cup, and there's instructions in the cup, right? Tina. And one of the instructions is before you intend to drop off the sample, before you do the action, call your doctor's office to let them know you're going to be doing this because the doctor has to be present.
I'm about to whack off.
Can you please have a doctor available when I bring my jizz cup in? It's so embarrassing. Like, just the thought. I mean, I'm a rather, like, not prudish guy.
Yeah.
But I don't like the thought of having to call somebody, tell them I whacked off, and is somebody there to take my jizz?
I'm about to do it.
Yeah. I'm getting there now. Let me put you on FaceTime. Can I speak to
you? Call the doctor.
Oh, my God. I can't.
That's too much.
So, one of the strings of this Reddit post says, listen, if you have this pain, yanking your chain is not going to feel pleasantly. So you might want to think about getting a toy that will allow you to have a pleasure sensation without all of the yanking.
Such as?
A pocket pussy.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm just like making sure.
Like fleshlight. A vibrating. Yeah. Fleshlight. But one of the electronic ones that like does
the work.
The work where you can just like stick it in, leave it there and do this thing. Right. So I have to tell my wife about this because I don't want to be the guy who's ordering pocket pussies to the house and the kids are opening them.
Ryan, what is this?
Exactly. Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Brian.
It's a fleshlight. Brian, can I borrow that?
Just leave in the shower.
Yes, I'm gonna put one in every shower. That's how open we are here at the family. They have a fleshlight that sticks to the wall in the shower, and then you can fuck it.
Unfortunately,
like,
I've seen it.
These poor bastards. Hey, listen, however you get off, it's cool with me. But so I go onto this website. I won't mention the website, but you probably can figure it out. There's a huge website that sells
the best
sex
one,
toys.
Yeah.
I agree. So I go on there. And I'm basically just looking for reviews.
Reading reviews.
Yeah,
you have to read reviews.
Exactly, right? You don't want to be the guy who gets the fleshlight that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or gets your dick stuck in there.
Yeah.
So I'm reading the reviews about these electronic fleshlights, essentially pocket pussies. And I pick the one that's got the best reviews, right?
Sure.
This one does the trick. No action needed. Does it all for you.
I want 5,000 five-star reviews.
Yes, exactly. I at least want one one-star review from a really creepy guy that says, I've fucked everything else out there. This is the best pocket pussy ever. I'm a pocket pussy master.
That's right.
So I just order that one. Then they say, oh, you free, happy holidays, free gift.
Oh, yeah. There's probably like 8 or 10. You got to pick one. Nice.
They had like 4 different options and you could pick one, but it was dildos. So I'm like, well, I'm not interested in the dildo, but I'll get one for my beautiful wife. If she wants to play with it, she can play with it. Right. And so, I pick one. And Tina, I literally have never owned a sex toy in my life. Not a man's sex toy. I've never owned one in my life.
Me either. Shocking.
You've never owned an actual sex toy?
Men's.
Oh, men's sex toys. There you go. Now, all of the women that I've dated have owned multiple sex toys, and I know why that is, because, you know, when you're dating Brian, you got to get a sex toy. So I order this, you know, whatever, normal shipping. And then a couple of days ago, we're getting all these boxes that are coming in the door, like for Christmas, you know, all these boxes. We've got to hide them from the kids because, you know, we don't, you know, the whole drill. I don't even want to say it out loud in case you're listening with kids in your car, in which case you're a terrible parent. And so then I get this notification, oh, your special package has arrived. It comes in a very
discreet
package. Yeah, your discreet package has arrived.
On the front
and they text you, email you, and call you. From pocketpussy.com.
It says Brian's a pervert right on the
It says pocketpussy.com. Some girl bent over.
Pervert lives here.
Getting mail in the ass. No, it actually comes in a completely nondescript box. It just says Brian, my address, and that's it. So I get it. I throw it in my closet so the kids, you know, so I'm not opening it
on
the kids.
What's this?
Yeah, kids go to sleep. And then I open the box. Let me explain to you what I got. What I thought I was getting was a fleshlight, like the size of like the a megaphone, right? Like this, like, you know, something you could hold in your hand.
Silicone, yeah.
Tina, what I got was a small Volkswagen with a big hole in the back of it. That's what
I got.
You thought
you were Dirk Diggler?
I thought I was Dirk Diggler. What I got was insane. It was the a contraption you have to charge. You have charge it.
What do you mean?
Tina, it is this huge, it's like this big. It looks like a pill capsule that's almost 2 feet long, almost a foot and a half long. And then it's got the flesh, it's got the vagina right there, right? Which you can take out the vagina to clean it. It's,
okay, fair enough.
And then it's got this little, I don't know how to describe it. Imagine, okay, there's a big clown show pill that has a bunch of buttons on it. And then there's this little tongue that sticks out of the bottom of it so it can cup your nuts.
Oh.
And then you screw the vagina.
Yeah.
And then I guess you jizz in it and then you clean it out, right? That's what I'm assuming happens.
What do you have to charge it for?
Because it's got sucking and vibrating.
Oh,
that was the whole point. The whole point
is the whole extra.
I can't yank because yanking hurts. So rather than use my hand.
So you just set it in there.
Set it in there and then
push
it vibrates.
Buttons.
Yeah. Or twists around or sucks or whatever this thing.
You have a sex bot.
I have a sex bot. A sex pill bot.
You have an Android.
This is
not the droid you're looking
this
for.
This is not. These are not the droids you're looking for. Oh, yes, they are. Bend over there, C-3PO.
Yes.
Yeah, C-3DO.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, give it to me.
That's news for me.
You didn't know these things existed?
I did not.
Okay. I didn't either until one arrived at my front door. I thought I was getting this small little contraption that was going to make like a...
That you can stick in the shower like we were just talking about. Yeah.
Like that kind of thing, right? And then I would, you know, somehow figure out how
to
get off.
They've come a long way, I've heard.
They have whole... They put these things inside of human life-sized dolls.
Yeah.
Now
That vibrate.
And
see,
suck,
that weirds me
and
out.
Fuck. Yeah.
I don't have battery toys. No batteries. I don't...
You don't do batteries.
I don't do any batteries. So it's all news to me. But my friends are saying that they have devices
pocket
now.
Pocket pussies?
That do the, No. Dildos that do the sucking.
Vibrators really?
That have a sucking action on them now.
So they could suck your clit.
Yeah.
Oh, very interesting.
I know. I'm like, wow. Okay. They,
well, listen, I love it. I think it's
vibrates,
great.
Vibrates, twists, turns, sucks. I'm like, nah.
Listen, there are a lot more female sex toys than there are male sex toys, but the male sex toys have come a long way because when I was a kid, there was no male sex toy. You didn't
have straight male. There are plenty
straight male.
Of,
Okay, gotcha. There were no straight male sex toys, at least that I knew of when I was a kid. And I've been to all the shops
there were like
nine and a half
pocket
weeks.
Pocket pussies in the back.
Yes.
And
in
you
the
had
back.
To like be very shamefully asking,
yes.
I'm not getting laid. Please take me to the fleshlight section.
You had to know what you were looking for, and then you had to give your ID so they could do a credit.
That's right.
A credit and a criminal
check. Did I ever tell you I got kicked out of a 9.5 weeks?
What? 9.5 weeks, by the way, is a store here in Atlanta.
Used to be. It's
used
not
to
around
be.
Anymore.
They had like 5 or 6 locations. It was a sex shop and a head shop.
I'm 19 years old. I've got my infant daughter. She's like 6 weeks old.
Oh, no way.
Strapped to my chest, and I'm going in there. And they were like, ma'am.
You cannot bring the
she's
child
under
in
18.
She's 6 months old.
6 weeks.
Six weeks.
I mean, she was just a tiny, she still fit in the little papushka, you know? They kicked me out.
You were getting after it.
I was trying.
Okay. I just leave the kid in the car.
It was real close. Hey, sir, do you mind?
Yeah. Can you do me a favor?
Just give me a second.
Pick out a purple one and bring it to me. Here's my credit card.
Just wait with the baby.
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
Just looking for the pocket pussy section. I guess I'll hold your baby. Some like creepoid outside, just I'll take your baby.
Can you please hurry? There's a weirdo watching my
no
child.
No shit.
Well, yeah, kicked out.
I can understand. Out I get of control. It. What's rules this? Are rules. Yeah,
She's under 18. She's not shopping, yeah, sir. Do you not, understand?
She doesn't even see in color yet.
Right.
I mean, for God's sakes. So I got this thing and I go into Astrid and I'm like, Astrid, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with this pocket pussy because, it's just crazy.
What do I do?
So then she looks at it and she's like, this thing is crazy. And I'm like, I know. And she's like, do you really want to use it? But you're just saying you don't want to use it so that you can. And she's like, you can give it a try. And I'm like, I know I can give it a try. I'm not embarrassed. I told you I was buying it. But I just don't want to have a small car on my dick. That's not what I'm interested in doing.
I wasn't trying to fuck a Volkswagen.
I don't want to
Beetle.
Fuck the tailpipe of a Fiat. You
I don't
know what
have
I'm saying?
That fetish. That's not my thing.
No. That's not for me at all. I'm not interested. It was, I have nothing with it.
You're still scared of it.
It's not that I'm scared of it. I'm just not interested in it.
Yeah.
Like, I have to be in the mood, and I don't want the mood to be I'm fucking
then,
a pill bottle.
And then try to figure the robot out.
I turned it on. I press the buttons to see what it does, but you don't really know until you get inside of it.
Sure.
But I can hear it go.
Which is a sound I hate anyway.
I know, dude. I do too. I mean, I like the sound when it's coming from a human being and there's action going on, but not from some machine going.
Or I feel like it might cause an injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
That's
want
what I'm more concerned about. Yeah, I'm wondering how I get inside this thing without hurting myself, actually. And then they give you like a bottle of lube, a bottle of cleaning solution.
How do you maintain an erection dealing with all of that equipment?
I don't think you can.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that there's plenty of men who like this and because they wouldn't be selling them.
Sure.
They wouldn't have 5,000 five-star reviews
if
people didn't
like
it. Yeah,
but you need it for like medical purposes, not because you're seeking some sort of satisfaction.
Yeah, not because I necessarily want it or need it, but because I think it's going to help me do my
homework.
Yes, without additional pain. Because what I'm really concerned about is maintaining an erection through all the pain, right? Yeah. That's what I'm really concerned about. So I don't know. If I try it, I'll let you know. Of course I will. But I'm telling you right now, I just don't think this is the one for me.
I'm sorry.
The one. Yeah.
We're going to have to break up.
Sorry, Pocket Pussy 3000.
Sorry, Android.
What if it starts talking back to me?
Oh, God.
You better
fuck
me.
The minute they start putting fucking AI in those things, I'm out. And they're
100%.
Starting to with the dolls.
Yes,
I know.
They have them with the dolls.
I know. That's...
Here's the most disturbing trend in men's sex toys that I can tell you.
Those dolls.
Those dolls. But then the fleshlights and the pocket pussies, like mainly the fleshlight.
Yeah.
Now they have a different mold for different porn stars.
Oh.
So you can have your favorite porn star's pussy that you're fucking. And that, to me, feels a little bit... I mean, I understand, like, these girls are probably
making
great money.
How do they take those fucking molds? That's weird.
They put a... I don't know. I don't know.
The mechanics aren't lining up for me.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to stick, like, the gel inside.
But then it's not going to take a shape.
I don't know. And to be honest with you, do you really know? I mean,
you wouldn't know.
Would you know?
They're just like, make that one a little smaller.
Yeah.
Make that one a little
Give
bigger.
This one bigger
make
lips.
That one shorter. Yeah. Make this one longer.
That's right. Long clit, small clit, big lips.
Inside, outside.
Small lips.
Yeah.
That's right. On the inside, it's all the same. You know what I'm saying?
They have to be.
But I'm thinking that one of the reasons why you would want a fleshlight of your favorite porn star, this is where my head goes, is so that you can like, you know, fuck along with it.
While you're watching.
Yeah, and I get this like creepy vision of like men in their basements.
See, if
like,
I found out
licking out the fleshlight. Like,
yeah, I mean, that gives me stalker vibes.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. But hey, listen, whatever anybody's into, they're not hurting anybody.
Sure.
You know? So if anybody has a good pocket pussy recommendation, let me know. This episode brought to you by Disney.
Don't say that. That's why Mickey doesn't talk.
That's right. And now... Bing's got some more information to work with.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Does Brian use a pocket pussy?
It's going to show up.
Oh, you know.
I'm going to go ask my Bing bot.
Oh, yeah. Ask your Bing bot about Brian's pocket pussy when this episode
no,
airs.
No, just tell me about Brian Green.
Brian uses a pocket pussy. Brian uses a Volkswagen
Here's the sound it makes.
Now taking recommendations at tcbpodcast.com. It's a contact us button. Drop down menu. I have a pocket pussy.
Send email. Yeah,
send email. Send pictures, please. No, don't do that. Okay, don't do that. My wife will freak out.
No random pics.
The second a dick pic comes through tcbpodcast.com, Aster's going to cut the show at the knees.
Leave me out of this one. Yeah.
tcbpodcast.com is where you go. You find out more information about the show. All the audio, all the video right there from one location. You can also get your free piggy fronting sticker. They will come in January. I shot my load early. No pun intended. Pun intended.
Well played.
Thank you. I actually told everybody that they were available and they were still at the printers. So I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. I didn't realize they weren't here yet. But you'll get them. So if you have put in a request, you will get one. Don't worry. We've got a nice little system going on here. It's like I scream at Astrid. Send a sticker to 345 Smith Street. And she replies, I'm not talking to you. You got a pocket pussy in your closet.
This thing is scaring
this
me.
This thing is scaring me. It's chasing me around the hallway.
I thought you weren't going to charge it.
Yeah. It comes kind of pre-charged. Anyway, go to the website, hit the contact us button, drop down menu. I want my free sticker. Give us your address. We'll send you one. I promise they're coming. 626 ask TCB, the number 31626 ask TCB, and the number 3 toll free anywhere in the world. You can send us your questions, comments, concerns, or content ideas. Ask Brian's mom, ask TCB. We're taking them all. Come on, bring them. You can also leave a voicemail if you want your voice on the show. If you don't leave a voicemail. There's a piece of advice. YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak. At The Commercial Break on Instagram. TCB Podcast on TikTok. And we hope you have a wonderful new year. To everybody out there, thanks for being a part of the show. Thanks for being the best part of the show, quite frankly. Okay, Tina, I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Tina and I always say, we do say and we must say,
goodbye.